5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Glad you guys could be with us here. Joining me now at the top of the hour here on our First Advantage Hotline, Chris Dempsey. Chris, my man of Altitude TV. How are you, my friend?
Doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I got to admit, Chris, I love talking to you anytime, but I saw this news from Woj, and I had to reach out to you. What's going on with this Nuggets trade, man?
Well, you know, the Nuggets trade, allegedly.
right.
DeMichael Green to the Oklahoma City Thunder. DeMichael Green and a protected 2027 first-round pick, so they had to give up a first-round pick as well. To Oklahoma City for the 30th pick in this year's draft and a couple of future second-round picks. And I think if you're a Nuggets fan, the way you're sorting through this is, you know, the Nuggets, when we talked about going into this offseason, from a reserve standpoint, had way too many players. And so, you know, part of what this is most definitely saying to me is that also is that you're going to get the return of Jamal and MPJ. And so if that starting lineup is Jamal, Will, MPJ, Aaron Gordon, and Nikola Jokic, then that means everybody else who was playing starting and playing significant minutes last year, now they're reserves. And the two Greens, Bones Highland, Monte Morris is back with the reserves. Brent Forbes and Austin Rivers and Boogie Cousins, and that's just way too many bodies. And so I think what you're starting to see here with the Nuggets is carving out some of that stuff. And then with draft picks, you can choose players that probably won't play, but they can be a part of your future. It gives them the latitude to do that, to take a flyer on a player that is going to be, they feel is going to be good later on. But I think that's what we're going to see here. DeMichael Green had a player option, which Woj, I believe, is reporting he's going to exercise. So take that $8.7 million. And so with that, then, like I said, the Nuggets get a little bit of space on their roster to do whatever else they need.
Oh, this is, we thought maybe this would happen where the Nuggets would kind of get creative. Like you said, clearing up some space, but also creating opportunities for themselves in this year's draft. And Chris, I got to ask you, we got a lot of Rams fans listening here, and we've talked about David Roddy a lot. It does seem like the national projections are leaning anywhere from late round, early second. Well, late first round, early second. Well, number 30, you tie that in to seeing Roddy there last week. It seemed like he and Michael Malone were best friends. All of that going together, and I'm just blowing it up in my mind. How realistic is it that we see CSU's star player get drafted by the Denver Nuggets?
Unfortunately, I think if I had to put a percent chance on it, I would say probably less than a 15% chance.
Oh, Chris, you're breaking my heart, man.
I know.
What's going on with that?
I know. It's tough. It really is. I just, you know, we'll see how David Roddy does in some other workouts as those kind of reports come out as well. And I just think for the Nuggets, you know, if he's not quite the kind of player that they're looking for at this juncture. And I think that's really what that stems from for me. I think the Nuggets, I think the Nuggets are looking for the type of player that, A, could either help them out defensively on the wing, or B, is kind of a long-term potential play. And I think that David Roddy is a little bit more, I don't think it's a long-term potential play. I think he's a little more ready to play sooner rather than later. And I don't know that he fits into the mold of a player that is like an elite level defender on the wing, which is what he'll need to be. I just think for him, and we talked through a little bit of his what he is as a basketball player, and I just think at 6'5" and originating from the post, that's a tough sell in the NBA. That's tough to recreate. You would want that player to be out on the perimeter to be able to not just play in space scoring, but playing space defending. And so until he can show that clearly, I think for teams looking for defensive-first kind of players, I don't know that he would be at the top of that list.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting, too. And again, I'm trying to take my fanboy hat off a little bit, Chris, because, you know, Roddy, Nuggets, that marriage would be amazing. But when we make the comparison, we've compared him a lot to, you know, somewhat close to Draymond Green type of guy. But you're right, Draymond Green, when a lot of times he he starts almost as the point guard. He is facilitating at the top of the key, and yeah. And you know that's what he has gotten really, really good at. And he doesn't even look at the rim half the time anymore, more than half the time anymore. Mm-hmm. So you would want to see that elevate in Roddy's game, where, as you mentioned, I mean, a lot of the great things that he was doing for CSU, especially over last year, was starting at that post spot, and that would be different, difficult to play if you ever did try to incorporate him in any kind of minute situation with the Joker.
Yeah. You know, it's, you know, that it's, I would want to see him kind of evolve his game a little bit more toward the perimeter. And now what you are is kind of a tank on the perimeter, a little bit like Marcus Smart is a tank on the perimeter, you know, but be able to operate facing the basket more than having to catch the ball back to basket and then maybe turning and facing and then kind of doing some stuff like that. So, you know, I think for Roddy, and I really want to be clear about this, I think he's a fantastic player. I mean, I think you know that. We've said that a lot of times. I think he's a fantastic player and has had a great career. And I just wonder what position he plays in the NBA. And if that is not on the perimeter, then you're at an immediate disadvantage on the block. And can your size overcome that? I don't know. I mean, those are the questions I think David Roddy has to prove to not just the Nuggets, but to all the decision makers around the league, is that here, this is a spot that I can play. These are things that I can do, and I can do them out there on the perimeter, because he's going to be asked to be able to do that. He's going to be asked to be able to handle the ball a lot more. And with, like you said, a lot more kind of like Draymond Green, can you initiate offense? Can you create your own shot? Can you create for others? All those things. And that's, you know, that's part of his challenge. You know, once he decided he was not coming back, it's now upon him to prove that he is ready to be able to fit into a perimeter spot, not a post spot, a perimeter spot in this league. And so we'll see if he can do that.
Chris Dempsey joining us now from Altitude TV. Well, that will be interesting with David too, Chris. And I'm being a realist at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at the NBA draft, especially that first round, early second round, you are looking at guys, okay, what's their specialty, right? And and with David, as you mentioned, he's really good at a lot of things. But what is that thing that he's better than anybody else in this upcoming draft? And I guess, unfortunately, the answer is he's not right now. He has a lot of really good attributes, but he's not. Oh, he's an amazing defensive player. He's an amazing through. Like, he doesn't have those things that a lot of guys you look for in the draft, especially if you're taking him in the first round. You want to say, do they have the potential to have this piece of their game be better than the rest of these guys drafted before or after them?
Yeah, exactly. Or it's like, oh, but he's got a 7'3" wingspan. He's got, you know, like something like athletically freaky about him. And it's not any of those things right now. And so, and that's why for him, I think, you know, what he's got to lean on is skill development and then being able to operate facing the basket more than back to the basket, and then using his rebounding prowess, because he's obviously a really good rebounder, but using that rebounding prowess to as an enhancer to what he is on the basketball court. And then, you know, the things that I know, one, the Nuggets always love to bring in local products, so we know that. I mean, they do this over the years and give them a chance to work out and do those things, but also I know Coach Michael Malone, he talked about this after the second, after the they had one today too, but the one prior to today's, Michael Malone talked about, you know, getting guys, it's not everybody who's in there because their stats are so great. It's because they compete. And that's one thing that we know about David Roddy, is that guy is a competitor, fights to the finish, is a winner. We know those things, those intangibles are present in his game. And so now what he has to prove is that along with leadership and all the hard work and winning, with those intangibles that's hard to find, quite honestly, in a lot of players, that now he can marry that with the skills necessary to make him the most effective player that he can be on the basketball court. And so that's what he's got to be able to do. But certainly, from an intangible standpoint, he's elite level. Now the skill level has to become elite level as well.
Chris Dempsey joining us from Altitude TV. Okay, so Chris, and I know you can only answer so much of this kind of thing, but just looking at it, okay, you got number 21, number 30. I know there's a handful of guys that are standing out outside of Roddy, to take the local thing away. Do you see the Nuggets using both of those picks, or are they putting together something here? I mean, we've talked about the potential of adding more help as far as guys that can go right now, that are in the league right now, that you could package for some kind of trade deal for the Joker, or do you see them kind of staying the course with the current roster, maybe a couple of guys that didn't play as much, maybe your Jermichael Greens, like we just saw, and then using those picks? What do you see? Are they trying to acquire more and more draft picks to put something together?
They could be. And, I think when you own picks 21 and 30, which is what they have right now, if you own picks 21 and 30, could you package those up? Let's just say you think a guy's going to maybe be taken by pick 18. Can you move up to pick 17? Can you offer 21 and 30 to move up to 17 if that team and at that space is kind of on that pick and wouldn't mind moving down? And plus you give them 2-for-1 on the first round picks. That's the kind of thing I could see using 21 and 30 for sure. If you feel like that 21st pick is just outside of a window where you would be able to get a player that you might be targeting, but you think that player still is going to be around at 16, 17, 18, 19, can you package those picks, move up a couple of slots that you need to be able to get the guy that you want? That's about all you can do with picks like that. If you're not trading them along with the player for maybe a future first round pick, that may be better than the ones that you're giving up. So, or you draft the players at 21 and 30 and you put them on your roster and you see what you got. I think there's those two possibilities are the ones, and I wouldn't be surprised with that one. If there's a guy that they just look or that he might just be out of their reach, can you now put together some sort of a package with those two picks and maybe another player if need be? Trade to move up a few spots, get the guy that you want that can help you on your roster right now. Otherwise, I think you just draft two players that you can see being really good for you maybe 3, 4, 5 years down the road, because I don't think, unless they are moving up in this draft, I don't think that they're going to draft a player that's going to be called upon to play any kind of significant minutes on this team this year. I think the players that are playing the significant minutes, we know who they are. And maybe they might bring back a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, but we know who those the players are by and large. If they add anything, it'll be a veteran, not a rookie, and they'll go with that. So I can see the Nuggets draft going one of those two ways, a small move up or drafted both spaces with players that can you think maybe develop for you in the future.
And you've been pretty consistent on this one too, Chris, as far as where you've said, hey, the draft kind of feels like, if the Nuggets are really delving into this thing, this is something for more down the road guys they could see, mm-hmm. they could view as project player type guys. Because, again, I sound like a broken record, but assuming the health is good for Denver, you really like the setup of your team and the emergence of Bones Highland. So then you start asking your question, where does a David Roddy, where does a guy like that even find minutes, assuming the health is clear? So you're right, that seems to make more sense that a project guy would be more of the focal point in this year's draft.
Yeah. I mean, their bench really is, I mean, it's got so many players. I mean, beyond the starting five, Monte Morris is playing, Bones Highland is playing, Jeff Green is playing. You have those three, and then we have to. What are they going to do with Zeke Nagy? They really like him a whole lot, so that's four. So now I'm nine players deep. I haven't even talked about maybe bringing back Austin Rivers, who defensively they really liked, ended up having some really good moments for him last season. There's players I'm skipping right now, like Brent Forbes and those guys. But if I can get to 9, and I haven't even mentioned Davon Reed, I think they really want to take a good long look at Davon Reed, and he would be 10. So now I'm 10 players deep, and we haven't even drafted a player yet. And you know who all 10 of those guys are? Like, they've all played and had really good moments for you in helping win real basketball games in the NBA. Then there's no chance that a player drafted at 21 or 30 is going to come in and play a significant role. Like, that player is going to have to take the Marcus Howard route, just to be honest with you. And that's, you know, going to sit and wait and watch and bide your time and practice a whole lot, play with the G League level, and just develop before you can get yourself onto a court for a team. It's not a team that's, it's not like the Orlando Magic where you, okay, we just going to throw all the young people out there we can and find out who can play or not. They know that who can play. They have aspirations of winning an NBA title, and now everybody who comes in on the roster who's going to actually play is going to have to really impact the bottom line of getting this team to the Western Conference Finals and or the NBA Finals. And so that's why I think if you're a rookie, this might not be the team for you next season, whether you're David Roddy or anybody else.
That's a great point. I mean, again, it's just and we always talk about it with players. A lot of times, it just matters. You know, where are you going? What team's going to be able to use you in this way? And if Roddy were to go to Denver, maybe, you know, for better or worse, the minutes just wouldn't be there for him for where this Nuggets team is constructed. Okay, Chris, I heard Josh Kroenke say, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, in his press conference, he mentioned that championship or bust, that, well, you know, getting over that hump. Let me ask you this, Chris. I mean, what does bust look like? If assuming all the health is good and Jamal's there, Porter's there, if they don't get at least to the Western Conference Finals, and I'll be realistic here and I won't hold Kroenke to the championship or bust necessarily, if they don't get to the Conference Finals, does that mean fairly big changes could possibly be coming for Denver as far as coaching staff, player personnel? What does bust look like?
Oh, wow, that's a good question. I'm not sure.
Right, it sounds tough.
That's a really good question. I'm not sure what that would look like. Michael Malone just got an extension. I mean, I guess it doesn't mean he couldn't be let go, but I don't know what bust would look like because it's not an old team. And it's not a team like the Utah Jazz who just kind of keep getting there and getting there and getting there and getting there and being great in the regular season, but always failing in the playoffs. It's like the Nuggets went to the Western Conference Finals and then they got injured. And that's where we are, you know? So maybe there is no bust. I don't, it's just championship or, you know, too bad we didn't get there.
Right. Because, well, that's.
I don't know what you do at that point.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know because your core players are still so super young.
Right.
So it's not like you can or this system has been around so long and the core has been there and they've been in all these playoff runs over and over and over again and it's clear that they just don't have what it takes to get there. We actually don't know actually at all what this core of players is capable of doing, because once they traded for Aaron Gordon, shortly thereafter Jamal Murray got hurt, and so that derailed everything for that season. It derailed everything for this season, and so, you know, I would say that they would at least give this crew a couple of years of run to see what that actually looks like. And so if they don't get to the Western Conference Finals this year, that's going to be a disappointing season, I think, for sure, because given their expectation level. But I don't think it would be a situation where it's time to start making wholesale changes. I guess we'd have to see what that looked like, how the season went down. But just off the top of my head, trying to look very far into the future, I don't see why that would have to result in big changes, because you have a bunch of core players that you believe so strongly in and have performed for you here in the past. So, I mean, you might tinker with, I just think you tinker with some support players around that crew. And that's about all you can do, because The other thing is that when healthy, these Nuggets have proven they can win a whole lot of games. They can beat a lot of really good teams. So I think we just want to see it. You know, Brady, we just haven't seen it. And I know there was – I was talking to somebody about this the other day. It's just the Nuggets at the end of the season, there was a lot of – and trade deadline kind of to the end when they were eliminated. There was a lot of, well, they could have done more at the trade deadline. They need to do more around Nikola Jokic, blah, 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 blah. And I get all that talk, except for we have literally no idea what this team can actually do because we haven't seen it for more than, like, seven games in a fully intact. And so because we don't actually have that full knowledge base, it's hard to go and it's hard to now take the next step and say what the changes might be. I mean, this might be a championship team. We don't know that yet. We know they have good players. They haven't played more than a week together or 2 weeks together. And we hope to get a full season and a full playoff run out of them.
Well, that's the thing. There's still so many strange variables up in the air, Chris, where it's like you haven't seen this group. I mean, it sounds like we've been saying this for a while, but you haven't seen this group really work out. It just hasn't been there because of the injuries. Jamal was injured a while ago, and then Porter essentially at the beginning of the season. So you really do got to give this time to breathe. And if Klay Thompson is any indication of how the recovery process is going to look for Jamal, then even next season might, you know, expect playoffs, but to see them go to that next step is still... I think that's still kind of lofty as far as thinking, okay, it is championship or bust.
Right. I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I hope that Nuggets fans are looking at Klay Thompson as a case study here. Now, look, he had two very devastating injuries, and Jamal just had one. But the point here is this, is that when you come back in your first season, you were just not the same player. He's having an okay NBA Finals, but next year I bet you we see the Klay Thompson that we are normally we're used to seeing just lighting the world on fire every single night. But he needed this. He didn't play half of the season, you know. So we forget. He missed a whole lot of time this season before he even started playing. And now he still is just not in the every game type of rhythm where you know he's about to give you 25, he's about to make 3, 4, 5 three-pointers, and he's going to go out and defend the best player on the perimeter for you. Like, he's not that player right now. And he may very well be next year. It's his first year coming back after those injuries, and that's why we have to cut Jamal Murray a lot of slack and latitude, because the way he's going to come back, I mean, this man will not have played a game in like 18 months, something like that, by the time he gets back onto the court. And that is a very long time to not play a game. And then our lasting memories of him, he was having the best season of his career at the time that he got injured. Our memories of him are of eviscerating DJ Wilson on the fake offensive foul call, of scoring a bunch of points, making a bunch of three-pointers. He's not going to walk right in back in and be that guy. He'll get to be that guy, but it might not be the entire season. And we have to be ready for that. And you're right, if that would definitely impact what the Nuggets are able to do in the playoffs. How far are they able to go? And that's why when you go bust, I'm like, I don't know what that would look like, because I don't know that we're going to get the full primetime Jamal Murray just quite yet. That'll be in the future, maybe not for a couple of seasons. So it's hard to hang a huge amount of expectations on this team when you have players coming back from significant injuries. I think in the case of Michael Porter Jr., he'll be more able to kind of get things going really quickly, because he went through training camp and he did play a few games last year. It's not as if he didn't play basketball for the better part of two years, and so he probably would be in position to be able to hit the ground running a little more. But for Jamal, we're going to have all of our we're going to have to survive a few. You know, whoa, he was like 4 for 18, and it doesn't look quite. You know, we're going to have to survive some of those nights, and he's going to have to survive through some of those nights, knowing that there's better stuff on the other side. So, you're exactly right about that in terms of the comparison there with Klay Thompson, and how he's performing and how he's performed over the course of. I think he started playing in January, January, February. So, you know, what, March, April, May, June. So we're 4 months into him playing, and he's still inconsistent. So it's definitely a process.
Great stuff from you as always, Chris. Breaking my heart with the Roddy stuff. I always hope you're right, but I hope you're really wrong about this, Chris.
I hope I'm wrong too.
All right, my man. Appreciate you as always, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Okay, man. We'll talk to you.
Chris Dempsey, Altitude TV. All right, we got to take a quick break here. That was fantastic. Not the news I wanted to hear. I don't know, though. I'm still holding out hope. I like Holyoke's text. Some of your texts are coming in. I'll get to those in just a moment. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.